Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ben Standing is our Washington Commanders program insider. He writes for The Athletic. You should subscribe to it. He can be followed on Twitter at Ben Standing, and he has an excellent podcast called Standing Room Only. He joins us in his normal spot Monday and Friday at 8 a.m. So let's just start with Brissett. Okay, first of all, did you learn anything listening to Brissett's presser yesterday about how this came together and why he's here?
Good question. I mean, he seemed to say that, like, early on in the free agency process. Now, I think he means this week as opposed to the whatever, you know, not technically legal conversations prior. That he seemed to know early on that this would be the place for him. And based on how things unfolded, you look at the money. I was looking just for the backup quarterbacks. Like, he definitely got, of the guys that we've been talking about on his tier this whole time, he definitely got the most money. So I don't know why.
The $8 million guaranteed for 1 year is tops among those guys we were talking about. Yes.
Yeah, but it's like double Baker Mayfield and kind of.
I don't know what Minshew got yet. I haven't seen those numbers.
Minshew was like $3.5 million. I mean, again, obviously, it's hard to know sometimes because of the incentives. They could be easy to get. They could be not easy. So that part's challenging. But in terms of the guaranteed money and then the upside, he definitely got the most. So I would have to imagine that was a huge deal. Now, I know Taylor Heinicke told the reporters in Atlanta yesterday that he thought he was going to be back here two or three days prior to, or I guess really at the start of free agency, more or less. But Atlanta came in with a better deal. He's obviously from there. We've talked about like Heinicke a lot, that he seemed, you know, it seemed to me, despite, you know, some questions about whether he would come back, that was still in play. So in order for him to have thought that, then I don't know where they were on Brissett, but I'm assuming at the beginning of the week that, or beginning of free agency or tampering period, that Washington and Brissett got close enough on these numbers that it became apparent that was going to be the case. I also assume, based on Brissett, just, you know, reality is, you know, I mean, look, nobody says flat out we want to be you to be the starting quarterback. So when you look around at all the situations, you know, it's this is a pretty reasonable spot. If nobody's going to say you are the starter, backing up, if that's how it unfolds, backing up a guy with one career start who is a fifth-round pick seems like a reasonable place to take a shot at, to think that you've got a pretty good opportunity to be a starter for a good chunk of the year. So, I think those are the things that, you know, he seemed to say he liked, you know, what was, you know, the direction here, things like that.
What do you think he has been told by Ron Rivera? And then what do you think the reality of Brissett Howell is going to be in this offseason leading into training camp?
Well, I mean, this is the thing, right? You know, we've talked about this before, that what seems to happen here sometimes is they say something to get out of one issue, but then it creates a different issue, right? So in this case, again, why did they even bother saying anything about Sam Howell that got out publicly about him, you know, being QB1? They did it, in my opinion, and I think, from what I gather, I'm right. This isn't like speculation, that they did it because they were trying to change the conversation away as it was happening in January about, oh, Carson Wentz and Scott Turner and that terrible playoff collapse to, oh, hey, look, we got a young quarterback. Let's go that way. And then that became the thing, and it worked. I agree. We stopped talking about that. We were, okay, Sam Howell's interesting, and he is. But that's why then Rivera went up and was like, oh, why is Sam Howell going to start? Rivera was like, well, hold on. I didn't say he would start. I said there'd be competition. Well, okay, but why would you bother saying anything publicly if it wasn't, that's got to be like a bit of a wink, right? So I think he's probably been told that, look, at a minimum, we have to publicly continue to go forward that Sam Howell is the lead. And look, the reality is, Sam Howell probably should be. He should be getting all the as many reps as possible. I
mean, yeah, let's see. Unless they don't think he really can do it. Unless 1 year, all of the discussion about how they loved him at Carolina, they loved him all year in practice, they loved him in the locker room, they loved him here, they loved him there. They couldn't wait to play him, except for the fact that they weren't going to play him in a preseason game at the end of the year. But if they think he's got some real potential, like legitimately, sincerely, they should be giving him every opportunity to win this job.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you obviously are busy doing what you're doing. I don't know if you saw, but I have a new story up today. I don't know if you had a chance to.
Is it the draft one?
No. It's basically, I was sitting there the other day after Brissett became official that this was going to be the deal. And it's not like it was a surprising name.
I got it. The one that you put up, is Washington's quarterback situation still the worst in the NFL? Is it
right? The headline is not mine. The headline is not mine. Well, I think it's so. The way I looked at it is this: there's two different categories, in my opinion. There's the this season category, right? Where are you at with quarterbacks this year? And then typically now we're looking at the better quarterbacks, from Pat Mahomes down to wherever you think that next level is. I don't know if that's Kirk Cousins or whatever. Somewhere, who are the guys that you think are just simply the better ones in the league? Okay. Then the next category is the longer term. Now, this could include some of the people in that first category, but now you're really also thinking of the Carolina Panthers are about to draft somebody with the first pick. Regardless of whether that player works or not, the perception is that that's a player who's going to, that's a very
right.
good chance to work, and it goes that way for a while. Okay. So if you look at the two categories, where does Washington rank? Well, Washington has Jacoby Brissett, who, if you lined up all the quarterbacks and did a schoolyard pick, could he end up as one of the 32 guys who starts? He could, but he's definitely going to be in the bottom of the list, right? He's going to be somewhere in the 26 to 32 part of the group. He's not going to be one of the better ones. Okay, fine. Then you go to the other side. Well, where does Sam Howell rank? Now, look, again, if the NFL scouts all come out and say Sam Howell is one of the 10 best young prospects in the league, great. But we have to be realistic. He has one start. He was a fifth-round pick in the year he was drafted, a year ago. Five other quarterbacks were picked ahead of him. This year there will be four quarterbacks coming in with the first four or five picks or something. In 2020, there were five other quarterbacks picked in the first round, and so on. And my point is that we get caught up in Sam Howell because he's here. Every team has some version of this. The Tampa Bay Bucks are probably in a similar spot right now with Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask. But look, Kyle Trask was a second-round pick. He just has been sitting behind Tom Brady.
Right.
And, Baker Mayfield, look, obviously that guy, is a huge, there's a lot going on there. But Baker Mayfield's upside versus Jacoby Brissett has been not just perceived better, he actually took Cleveland to the playoffs for the first time in 18 years before things fell apart. So, and then you look at Atlanta too, right? You've got Heineke there now as their Brissett kind of guy. But they also have Desmond Ridder, who was picked, 70 picks ahead of Sam Howell. So my point is that none of us know what will happen, but on paper, Washington ranks pretty low in both categories, and that's not ideal, right? There's only three or four teams at most who do that. Everybody else has either a guy who's good or they've invested in somebody and they'll see what happens. And Washington didn't do either of those things. So we talk about this in isolation, but if you look at it broadly, I don't know how you don't view it as they have one of the worst situations. But here's the thing. This is the other part of the article. They also improved. They also improved off of last year. I don't think anybody's going to sit here and say, well, this is worse.
No, Brissett's better than anything they've had in the last few years.
Right, and at least Sam Howell, you know, other than Dwayne Haskins, they haven't had a young quarterback, and by the time Rivera got here, there was already questions about Haskins. Howell is still an unknown. He's clean, relatively speaking. He had the one start. He looked pretty good. So I get why there's interest. I have interest. But I'm just saying, when you step back, look at the whole league, and also this, the NFC, the quarterback situation is pretty – starting quarterback is not that great overall. But in their own division, they clearly are fourth, and they're going to be picked to finish last in the division accordingly, barring, you know, whatever else happens here in the offseason, which doesn't mean anything. Okay? You know, I mean, things change, predictions are wrong. But I'm just saying, on paper, they have arguably the worst quarterback situation in the league and yet somehow improved, which is in a very interesting place to be.
Right. We're talking to Ben Standing, by the way, to Tim, who texted me, Gardner Minshew ended up in Indianapolis. That happened yesterday or late last night. And Marcus Mariota signed with Philadelphia. That was more of the quarterback movement. As most of you, I'm assuming, were involved in watching a lot of basketball yesterday. We're talking to Ben Standing. All right. Rather than, you know, put them in categories and rank them with respect to quarterback situations, I think we all know that their quarterback situation is a massive mystery. And by the way, put side by side with the other 31 teams, is going to be near the bottom, you know, in terms of what people are going to perceive it to be. What do you think is going to happen? Like, you know, you talk to people out there, and you, by the way, just said a little while ago that it's not speculation, that you know that it was essentially, hey, let's put the QB1 tag label on Sam to kind of divert attention from the way the season ended, especially that Cleveland decision we made with Carson Wentz. But what do they really think of him? And then do you think Brissett has a chance to win the job?
Well, to be clear, when you say that, for the people who maybe don't get it, if it was a 100% straight competition, no favoritism, no worrying about the future, no salary cap considerations, none of that, I mean, Brissett wins the job. I wouldn't say in a walk, but he's going to win it pretty likely just based on experience. He has 48 career starts. He's been through some challenging circumstances. What a career for this guy. He was the starter for New England during Deflategate.
Right.
He was the starter in Cleveland last year with Deshaun Watson. So Washington will be the relative walk in the park for him, despite, compared to most quarterbacks in this league.
Well, he's got a decent team around him.
Yeah. I haven't looked at the history yet to see is this like the best set of receivers he has or things like that. But yeah, he's not played with good teams. You look at three different times in his career, he has started at least 11 games. That's not nothing. You know, just like we saw, you know, it's kind of like the similar with Heineke. He's never the guy that you go, well, this is the starter. It just kind of works out that way. So I think, you know, again, to that end, I think he could. But I think, again, I just think Washington sort of painted themselves into a bit of a corner. They can't now come out. I mean, you know, you can do whatever you want, but you can't realistically now come out and say, well, you know, we just didn't think Jacoby would be there. And, you know, we can give Sam more time to develop. I don't think you can do that anymore. The sales pitch has been too strong to go that way. So I think that Howell's going to be given every opportunity, as Rivera has said, to be the starter, and it will just be a matter of, you know, does he look enough the part to move forward? But, you know, you get to training camp, you get towards the season, by that point there could be a new owner, right? And, well, I think that's the big variable we don't know about. If there's a new owner at that point, right, it seems like it's a forever away that that's going to happen, but if a new owner happens, forget the owner's meetings next week. Just what if it's done by, you know, any point before training camp, what is that person saying? Does that person say to Ron, look, I've admired your work, you're good, do what you think you have to do? Or does that person say, hey, pleasure to meet you, I'm going to reevaluate the whole situation, you know, don't lose. I don't know, right? So that, I think that's all. How could it not be? I mean, think of it like this, Kevin. The last 3 years under Rivera, the team has started 1-4, 2-3, 1-4, right? If that happens again,
it's a Gruden 2019 situation where, you know, they signed Case Keenum. They had the rookie quarterback that the owner wanted to play, and he needed to win.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, whatever is being said now doesn't necessarily mean to me it's going to be the same thing come end of July when they're convening, I assume, in Ashburn, to do this thing. I wouldn't blame Rivera if he, you know, said, well, you know, I got to try to figure something out. And also, like, even if they decide to go with Hal, right, the whole point of a guy like Hal is, realistically, he's going to need some time, right? Which is fine. Totally right. Reasonable. So if they start off 1-4 again, are they going to give him that time? And then even if they decide they won't, what in Jacoby Brissett's career has suggested that he's going to turn this thing around, right? I mean, you could obviously make the same argument with Taylor Heinicke when he had these surges, successful surges, but then ultimately the wheels fell off, right, to such a varying degree. So, you know, I guess my point is I would still put Hal as the favorite, but let me know what the mindset is both of the coach and the organization if there's a massive change that we all at this point I think is going to happen here with ownership, and that's the variable. At least Ron, I guess, has given himself an out in terms of, well, we have Jacoby Brissett. But, yeah, I would still say Hal, depending on what the mentality for everybody is involved come July.
I think I agree with everything, but I would add this piece to it, and that is, while Ron put the QB1 label on Sam Howell, Eric Bieniemy hasn't actually done that yet. And this is a big year for Eric Bieniemy as well. And we both know that Eric Bieniemy's been told he's got a ton of autonomy and decision-making power right now in this organization. And I made the case, a caller yesterday said, look, Eric Bieniemy needs to develop Sam Howell. And I think that, you know, if Eric Bieniemy realizes that developing Sam Howell may not be as easy as Ron Rivera and others pitched it would be, I think he could get a lot of mileage out of, you know, coaching Jacoby Brissett into one of his better seasons in his career. I think Bieniemy can win with Brissett. I'm talking about in terms of gaining ground on a head coaching job as much as he can with Sam Howell. It's not like Brissett's lit up, you know, any kind of season. He had a good season last year with Cleveland, you know, as the caretaker for Deshaun Watson. He had a really good season. Their issues were defensive last year in Cleveland as to why the record was what it was. But I think it's more going to be about what Bieniemy thinks more than anything else.
Yeah, no, it's a great point about, you know, Bieniemy's role in this. And again, this goes down to the mentality and the level of urgency. If Bieniemy thinks he has, you know, I mean, you know, depending on his own personal hopes and dreams of being a head coach, you know, if he thinks, look, I'm here, I'm happy to be here, how do we move this thing forward? And obviously, if I do well, that'll help my cause. Then again, maybe he says, well, let's see what Sam Howell can do. I mean, I think anybody recognizes Sam Howell is the ideal choice. For a long-term solution, if Sam Howell actually wins the job and plays well, Washington
is set
up very
nicely. That's
the best case
for everybody, of course.
Yeah, so there's that. But look, you know, this is a copycat league. Does anybody look at Jacoby Brissett and think, you know what, a year ago, was anybody saying Geno Smith was going to the Pro
exactly.
Bowl?
Exactly.
No.
Right.
You know.
And I mean, not to interrupt, but I just think that ultimately with the Terry McLaurin's and, you know, year two of, or maybe year one of the extension, and signing Daron Payne and the talent that they have, and they've got a top 10 defense, they've got really good receivers. Like, personally, you know, unless Sam Howell really speaks to, we got to give this guy a year because in 2 years or 3 years, he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. If there's real belief in that, then you take your lumps in 2023. Understood. Okay, and no argument with that. But if they don't feel that way, you try to win this year. You put the guy out there that gives you the best chance of winning if you don't feel that way about Sam Howell. And who knows if they'll have, you know, a strong enough opinion one way or the other by the time we get to the season opener. But anyway, look, I'm running out of time here. Tell me real quickly what's next for them in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we can debate whether they've improved a lot or how some of these guys they've brought in are good or whatever. But I think what they've done is they've given themselves some options. They have signed basically virtually only players at positions of need areas at this point. So at a minimum, you know, they have players they can use in week one right now on the offensive line. You know, they added a little depth at cornerback. They have a new linebacker, stuff like that. I still think, to me, the screaming need is that third cornerback, but that could be the draft. So I think that right now for free agency, I think it's mostly depth stuff. I mean, I don't see a ton of, like, you know, I know like people are, like, desperate for them to get another linebacker. Like, I don't see them spending more money than they just gave Cody Barton on a linebacker. Unless somebody's price just comes way down, or
they don't need it. Like they don't really play lot linebackers. They don't play a lot of linebackers. No, they need,
They used three linebackers in a 4-3 set exactly four snaps last year out of 990 something.
Say that again.
They used three linebackers in a 4-3 set, like a real one, four plays last year out of 990 something. So,
right,
like,
because they used Curl or McCain or somebody else when they were in a base 4-3 as kind of the hybrid, you know, backer, as the Buffalo nickel, whatever they want to call it.
Exactly. Plus, this is a team that uses five defensive linemen more than the, you know, the average bear. So, they don't need that. So, you know, look, I'm not personally set on their offensive line, but this may be where the draft comes into play at this point. So, you know, look, there could be another signing or two. Look at, you know, J.D. McKissic was released, you know, in theory, need another running back. You know, there's questions about the tight end room and this, that, and the other. But, you know, right now they are pretty set, at least from the perspective of they have pieces now at all the places that we were going. Well, don't they have to get someone there? And now the question is, do they find a nice bargain in free agency or position towards the draft of, okay, now we've got this done, where are our biggest holes? I would say cornerback to me is probably number one at this point in terms of, like, you could get somebody now and that person could start as opposed to what we just said with linebacker. So that to me would be the biggest thing. With the Jacoby Brissett deal, there's no Lamar Jackson. I don't think that was ever a real thing anyway, but for people
going,
well,
Florio,
you can go get
now
back
admits that there's no Lamar Jackson coming to Washington. I got to run. Thanks for doing this. I'll talk to you Monday.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. By the way, the news overnight, if you missed it, Florio, Pro Football Talk, reporting that somebody within the organization said a deal is imminent for Snyder to sell the team and that the Snyders have moved completely out of the team's facility, both Dan and Tanya. All right, we'll talk to somebody from down in Alabama about the Crimson Tide, the number one seed in this tournament. They get Maryland tomorrow night. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.